SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964 if you're listening to Sirius XM online. And at our website as well, stevebick.com. And this crazy, frigid weather passing through. Just a little bit more to deal with and a little bit closer to normal tomorrow. Racing should resume here in the eastern half of the country and parts of the near Midwest. Really scary. I aside from the cold, and I ended up having to go to Bennington yesterday for a haircut, and because the other day when I was going to go, I got canceled. And on the way back, a snow squall that was just unbelievable. I mean, the temperature dropped. It was like in the movie, Day After Tomorrow. The temperature dropped 10 degrees in minutes from like 20, low 20s to teens. And all of a sudden, this you couldn't see 10 feet in front of you. Craziness for about 20 minutes, and you know, then it passed through. But it was scary. I've been through plenty of bad driving conditions. This was crazy, and then that quickly it passed. And in fact, as I got back from Vermont into New York, it was just wet pavement. But wow. Yeah, so get this through. Everybody's walking today at most of the eastern tracks. NIRA will resume tomorrow, and you got for a Friday, it's a fairly interesting day of racing with the Stronach 5, which has become pretty steady as part of the Friday menu, and these carryovers in New York on an okay card. And then there's just some decent racing in general that had caught my eye, Oaklawn and Santa Anita. In fact, the late pick four tomorrow at Santa, I ended up printing 6, 7, 8, 9 for tomorrow at Santa Anita. Today, a couple of good races today, 6th and 7th. Second level allowance on the grass. They're going a mile and a quarter. And a 1 mile first level allowance. The 3-year-olds, this is the race that we talked about with Peter Miller. Gray Magician in here. Samantha Siegel and Mandela have Extra Hope. The Shanghai Bobby that Samantha bred. Kingly, and this is an important start. Kingly for Baffert and Clearview, you know, the Clear Sky team. This is the Tappet Colt out of Just Whistle Dixie that debuted nicely at Del Mar, going back to the end of that meet. You'll recall beat the Kaleem Shah Stretford End. There's also Big Scott Daddy, the Pipey, who rallied from the outside opening day at Santa Anita in that closely watched Maiden Special. So important race tomorrow at today at Santa Anita, and tomorrow too. There's a couple of nice allowances, turf and main track, some familiar names, and then that feeds into the weekend that really has come up exciting, and not just because of the 3-year-olds. Yes, the Withers, the Holy Bull, the Bob Lewis, and The Lewis came up exactly as planned, as did the Withers. The barn doors flew open at Gulfstream, and that field ended up burgeoning. The Holy Bull, which we thought was going to have maybe seven, maybe eight, ended up getting a nice bulky group. 10 are going to go. And the late additions that hadn't necessarily been expected, including Harvey Wallbanger, a horse that we got familiar with last summer at Saratoga with Harold Lerner. Took a little extra time for him to break his maiden, but Harvey Wallbanger, some talent. Ron Paolucci's got a horse that they poached from Hammy Smith, Going for Gold, an Atreides gelding, added to the festivities. And Ralph Nix threw in Garter and Tie for Fred Bry. Jacks are better. And you also had, was Everfast expected? Gladiator King runs in every race, so the Mahia barn just throws as much spaghetti against the wall looking for something to stick. And Gladiator King, he did stick in the inaugural at Tampa. That worked. It's very strangely campaigned, the Mahia barn. But a field of 10 comes together for the Holy Bull. But in addition, I mean, just, we'll get to everything, but the race that shaped up, I mean, we knew McKinsey was expected in the San Pascal, but have you seen this? The San Pascal, you know, for all the complaints about, you know, the older horse division, well, the San Pascal is spectacular. From the rail, Pavel, back from his adventure in Japan, which if they had to do again, I'm sure they would not have done. But Pavel, from the rail. And of course, the Foster winner, going back to Midsummer last year, makes his five-year-old debut here, Dalmore, for Ron Paolucci, who's quite nice, has amassed $500,000 in earnings, coming out of that Sunshine Millions Classic behind Super Tappet. And he's got a nice record, of course, from his days on the West Coast. He has performed well historically at Santa Anita. Dapster. The mile and eighth might be a little short for Dapster. after his adventures going longer. Mile and a quarter, mile and three quarters. But he's coming out of the San Antonio, of course, where he and Battle of Midway were expected to vibe, and then they were overhauled by Giftbox, if you forgot about that. But before that, they were in that terrific Native Diver, where they put on a show. Joe Talamo back with Dapster. Shiver Me Timbers. West Point and Mark DiDomenico. Out of the Hollendorfer barn, of course. Last seen trying the grass, and he ran okay in the Mathis mile, beaten a little more than three lengths. But he returns to the dirt after that foray onto the lawn. Peter Urton has got the hard-hitting New York bred, Giant Expectations. How about Sonneteer for Calumet and Keith DeSorbo? McKinsey, as expected, from the 7, and Battle of Midway. Absolutely a terrific cast. 8 of them. And let's add up the earnings out of curiosity. $1.5 million, $2.5 million, $3 million, $4.2 million, $4.4 million, $5.8 million, $6 million, 8.3, basically somewhere over $6.5 million earned in these eight horses. 7, 12, 17, 19, 23, 26, 33 wins for $6.5 million in earnings. A field of eight for the San Pascal that pretty heartening, frankly, for the handicap division, given the retirements. This really is a fun cast. And yes, McKenzie has the edge on paper coming in off the Malibu win, of course, working his way toward the big cap. But, and I suppose, you know, I guess Dubai is on the table. I guess that's not been entirely written off, but really this is a fun race. And a nice addition. And of course, the Santa Anita card on Saturday, the forced distribution of the jackpot prize. So from that angle, you got a pretty interesting, you know, this is the time to play it. And that sequence is actually a little top heavy with three maiden races, two maiden special weights, and I think a maiden 30, if I'm not mistaken. Let's run it down, actually. It starts with a 7-furlong boys race, an important boys race. Yowza. You know, that horse that I talked about with Richard Baltus comes back in here from opening day. One Bad Boy. You know, he was in that race with Big Scott Daddy and had to lead from the rail and had a little bit of an awkward trip and he's a little obscured. It's kind of a hidden trip in there. He was steadied out and One Bad Boy. I know John White. John White's typically listening, but John, don't. Please don't give him away on the line. Omaha Beach will probably be favored in here, you would think, with the 3 seconds, including behind Nolo Contesto. There's also a firster, the $725,000 Bodemeister for Michael Stinson and Hollendorfer. Something you don't see all that often. Horses worked 5 straight 6-furlong drills. How about that? And Michael McCarthy with Eclipse has got a great R named Polar. The Stinson Hollendorfer is Koa, K-O-A. Polar from the rail has been working really sharp. So the fifth race that starts that Jackpot 6 distribution, the Lewis that everybody we talked about, Gunmetal Gray, Mucho Gusto, and Nolo Contesto, of course, are the principals. Field is 6. Then that maiden 30 that I mentioned, and there's a couple of 3 firsters, 4 firsters. This looks like a murky bunch. Another set of boys, this time going 6.5. Some firsters in here. Shelby Ruiz, by the way, back on her own officially. Horses running for Shelby again in her name for the Ruiz Racing Team. So the 8th race, 6.5 furlong, then the San Pascal, and then it ends with a 12-5 non-winners of 2. Everybody loves that. But there's your jackpot. So we'll do a lot of handicapping. Should got to get Brad Free in here tomorrow, I think. Haven't talked to Brad since the beginning of the meet. So we'll get Brad and, of course, Jay Privman and Quigley. And we'll do the Gulfstream team as well. Let's take a break. More of this kind of thing to go through. There's a ton of news. And some of it actually good. Back after this, Thursday at the races.
the latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Everyone's a winner, baby. That's the truth.
That's the truth.
And to you, we said it's a thrill. Everyone's a winner, baby. That's no lie.
That's no lie.
We're back, and of course,
this is perfect hot chocolate weather. Wah-ha-ha, you see what I did there?
That was awful. You know what? You know, I will say this about satisfying the cold weather portion. I typically don't have time in the morning for my favorite hot breakfast, which you've heard me riff on this before. Oatmeal is disgusting and completely I don't understand. It's funny because I love oatmeal raisin cookies. But oatmeal as a hot breakfast is just gross. I think it goes back to my days at a summer camp. I went to a YMCA camp in Colebrook, Connecticut called Camp Jewel, for those of you. And it's funny because Tina and I were driving to Hartford last summer or summer before. And I don't know what possessed me, but we ended up doing the back road, through Massachusetts, through the Berkshires and down into Connecticut. There's a portion of Connecticut that you would indistinguishable from the Smoky Mountains. I mean, you wouldn't know you were in Connecticut. And I don't even know why I was curious, but it been 45 years, probably more. And I said, I want to drive through Colebrook. And so we drove, and the place didn't look anything like I remembered. It was actually really nice. I remember it as being something along the lines, of Stalag 17. It was my, my memory from childhood. Because you can imagine, I was a little too much of a, it's a little bit of a fuss budget kind of fastidious kid. So, the summer camp experience was a mixed bag. But we drove through Colebrook, and I bring this up because I think my dislike of oatmeal comes from Camp Jewel, because they used to foist it on you every morning. And I remember the guy that ran the camp. The air is cold, the water's warm. No, the air was cold, the water was cold. It was it was just awful. And they would serve that's what it was. It was a combination of Oliver meets Stalag 17. that oatmeal, that bowl of oatmeal, but cream of wheat as a counterbalance, that is the manna from heaven, because what you can do to cream of wheat, forget it. Little maple syrup, golden raisins, it's unbelievable. And that's sustenance. So, and I've actually gotten the microwave down too, and using almond milk. Yeah, works, absolutely work great. Works great. And so almond milk, cream of wheat, maple syrup, golden raisins. And I am girded for this. Right now it's it's up to minus one. This morning I woke up, it was minus 11. So, yeah. Sent Tina off to school. I went out and warmed up her car, too. That's what being a good husband's all about. The weather in Florida, I guess they're expecting rain again tomorrow. And so, as a result, they tabled the Swedish Chant and the Dania Beach for Saturday. They're going to run it. And actually, frankly, why did you need to have five stakes on the Saturday card? Why not put those two stakes on Sunday? Make Sunday that much more interesting, actually. And the Gulfstream action beside the feature, the Holy Bull, which is a grade two at this time of year. The two grade threes, the Forward Gal, where another comebacker for Chad Brown and Seth Klarman. The Violence Filly, you've kind of forgot about her. Feedback, who was a terrific debut winner at Saratoga, she's back in this spot, and she's the horse to beat, no doubt. A couple local horses that look okay. Ronnie Spatz has got a nice, that filly that won the house party in December, she might be okay. Bye Bye Jay. This is an uncaptured. There's another one of those uncaptured horses. This one not trained by Cassie. Fond shows up in here for Ben Colebrook off of the win at Tampa in the slop. And I would not completely discount her. She adds Lasix here for her second start. She looks very tractable. And she's going to look a little dirtied up coming out of Tampa and with a 60s buyer in that debut. But I think she's okay. Ian Wilkes has got Champagne. Anyone? That's a filly we talked about, that Street Sense filly. She's coming out of the Goldenrod, last seen in November. Makes her three-year-old debut. Fashion Faux Pas, who we talked about. Arno Delacour. So a nice group in the Forward Gal and the Swale. The first of the graded sprint stakes for the three-year-olds, 7 furlongs. And I, at first glance, and yes, I'm a little bit of an open rooting interest for Gary Young, who bought Call Paul, and a horse that you've heard about on the show for, you know, right from the get-go, along with Gumtree Lane. But Call Paul feels like a unique opportunity in here behind the speed, because there's so many horses that have the same running style here that are either on or near the lead. And Call Paul, who is going to sit in the five hole with Arat Ortiz, feels like he can set up shop behind the speed. High Crime returns in this spot, and we've been waiting for Darren Miller, and we'd hoped actually to talk to Darren. Maybe we'll be talking to him on Monday after this, after the swale on Saturday. High Crime comes back in here with Saez off that tremendous performance in the Maiden Breaker. This is the Violence Colt for Silverton, and the familiar pink jacket with the black fleur-de-lis. So, nice group in here, too. You've got a group of 11 in the swale. So, a nice, fun sequence. And then, of course, we go to the Holy Bull in the 11th. And then there's a maiden special that closes it out. I was trying to figure out yesterday when the cards were drawn. My first concern was, frankly, making a decision about the races I'll use for Beat the Host. And I probably will use all four of those races we just mentioned. The last four, the late pick four at Gulfstream, I'll probably use those four. And then three races fairly tight at Santa Anita, and then that San Pascal. Even if I pick McKenzie, it's still fun. The San Pascal would be a good Beat the Host race. So, but it's going to be a really, I think we'll have a nice set of eight races for Beat the Host. But really good. Saturday, this is, I know, yes, you know, last Saturday was a nice day because of the, at least because of the anticipation for the Pegasus card. I think, you know, the way things unfolded ultimately, it was a little, it wasn't unsatisfying, but it just, I don't know, it between the weather and you know, the parade, the horses getting on the lead on, you know, on the main track races, it just, I don't know, it didn't. This will have a much more, I think, you know, this is one of those days where you're going to be going from signal to signal, and it'll be frenetic, and you better be well prepared. In addition, by the way, I should mention, there's also, to these three big cards, there's also the Martha Washington at Oaklawn. And the Martha Washington got a field of seven. These are the three-year-old fillies that are sprinting on their way to what, the Fantasy, right? Fantasy. Speaking of which, actually, that is a great segue from the general conversation to one of those pieces of news, and I got a stack of stuff to discuss. The Fox Sports team announced another winter spring of Saturday at the Races, and boy, they're all in. If you didn't see this, Michael Mulvihill, Jim's brother, Mulvihill, who loves the game, and Fox Sports 2, you know, has really been a great partner for racing, and they're going to have 12 Saturdays of broadcast starting this week, the Holy Bull, the Withers, and the Lewis. And I reached out. I'm trying to get an answer on multi-race that we love, the, you know, the cross country pick fours, and to see if Naira has put those, you know, into the package, and how many of those there'll be. I mean, it's a perfect opportunity. And I don't know if they had enough time to organize for this one, but there's plenty of other weekends, and virtually every, almost every weekend between now and April 20th, there's going to be a broadcast. In fact, some of them are Fridays and Sundays as well, including a Sunday broadcast with the Apple Blossom. The day before the Derby. They're not showing the, that's, Apple Blossom's usually on Friday. I'm just looking down and it's showing the 12th, 13th, and 14th. Is the Apple Blossom on a Sunday this year? Interesting. Okay, so they moved the Apple Blossom from the Friday during the festival, Racing Festival of the South, to the Sunday, the 14th. And it looks like they're going to broadcast, and they're actually got a Friday broadcast too with the Fantasy. But a nice mix. I mean, obviously the three-year-olds and the road to the Derby and the Triple Crown season is the anchor, but there's lots of other, there's Oaks division, there's older divisions, including the Razorback and the Oaklawn Handicap. You got the Sprinters, the Carter, and the Santa Anita Oaks on the April 6th broadcast. And you know what, actually what this is telling me, I'm just looking at this list, there's obviously the NBC broadcasts as well. So there's going to be some of these Saturdays where there's going to be Fox coverage and then NBC coverage. But how about Saturday, March 9th, the San Felipe, the Tampa Bay Derby, and the Gotham? Greg Fox is going to be the linchpin, and he'll be tied into, you know, the local coverage from each of the racetracks, and they're going to use, you know, the personnel at the, you know, the local on track. The Oaklawn is particularly tied into this. Oaklawn obviously making some kind of a deal for this coverage, because Oaklawn is on virtually every opportunity that they've got a big weekend, including the Rebel telecast, where the Azari and the Essex and the Rebel itself will be featured, plus the Beholder coming in from Santa Anita. That's March 16th. The Fountain of Youth telecast on March 2nd. You name it. Very, very cool. And, you know, this cannot be understated how important this kind of coverage is. And that's why in what Naira's done with, you know, the Belmont Live and Saratoga Live, you know, to have that much racing into that many homes across the country, this is very valuable. And it all goes back to the McKinsey report that was presented by the Jockey Club at the Round Table. You know, now it's 6-7 years ago, but this kind of a presence, a regular presence, and the ability of people to, you know, to follow along and latch on to the, you know, the storylines and the horses, it's invaluable. And Fox has really been a great, certainly Fox and NBC have been the partners that ESPN never proved to be. They made all kinds of claims at the time when ESPN, you know, tried to Pied Piper the industry, and then they failed to deliver at all. That was a complete fool's errand with them. But Fox has been stalwart in their support, and of course NBC with their long-term coverage. Couple of notes. We'll go to the break, actually, and I'll slip in a sad note. Gosh, this is brutal. You may have seen yesterday afternoon, word came from the ANA Ranch in New Mexico. They were relocating Morning Line to come to New Mexico, and shipped in, not feeling right, shipping fever, as they say. You know, it's basically, you know, it's basically pneumonia. And he did not make it. And feel terrible for owner Fred Alexander. They were obviously excited to have Morning Line. And Morning Line, you know, has been a useful sire. And it's tough. You know what? I'll save that and we'll bring it up next week with Dr. Allday. And of course, when you get to the late winter and toward early spring, you know, this is a bad time for those kinds of potential illnesses. And they say that this was particularly that he had, in addition to whatever else was contributing to the pneumonia, some bacterial strain that was making the antibiotics they tried ineffective. So thoughts also to Nick Zito, of course, who conditioned in Morning Line Lapenta, right? Yeah, I think so. Let's take a quick break here. I've got a bunch of regional news. Jersey, New York, Georgia, Florida. Is that it? Yeah. That's enough. Back after this at the races.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Used to keep it cool, used to be a fool, all about the bounce in my step. Watch it on the news, what you gonna do? I could hit refresh and forget. Used to keep it cool. Keep it light, stay out of the fight. No one's gonna listen to me. If I write a song, preaching what is wrong, will they let me sing on TV?
keep it light. Is that right?
We're back at the races, 20 minutes to the top, and just got a note from Ron Paolucci. And for those of you that are looking ahead to the Holy Bull, they're going to scratch. Ron not happy with that 10 slot, and not fair to the horse to try to win from out there. And you know, he is a maiden. I mean, he's been beaten a nose and a neck in the two starts back in December when Hammy Smith had him. And they are looking at either a maiden, there's a maiden to enter back for Sunday, or the Sam Davis. And, you know, you only have to look to, you only have to look to the success that Mike Trombetta had with Mrs. Weber's horse to appreciate Laurel horses at Tampa, and you know that quirky surface, and Laurel horses seem to do okay over at Tampa. Delacour too, right? Delacour, I think with a, I think his horse is another one that that had Laurel form. So, thanks to Ron. Thanks to Ron for everything, because he's on top of it, and also and also bought in, also bought the horse at OBS on Tuesday too. One of the by the way, and there's the Florida portion. Boy, I'm swinging from vine to vine here. The OBS numbers yesterday not great, and ended up the sale for the 2 days. Off 25% total receipts. Average was down 23%. The median was the same, actually. And buybacks were down. But Wednesday, Wednesday was kind of meh. The Horses of Racing Age sale, the pent-up demand for ready-made horses, that is locked in, to say the least. Speaking of getting locked in, a couple of notes, news items that caught my eye. I've been watching what's going on with that appropriations bill in New Jersey, and the Assembly Committee sent that $10 million supplement for Monmouth for 5 years out, 9-0 vote, and now it has to go to the Assembly, which could be today, and then if it gets through the Assembly, and there's no reason to think that it wouldn't actually, you know, the Senate passed it 40-0 in December, and go from there. Senator, Governor Murphy would then have to sign it. But again, every indication is that Murphy's cool with this too. So that seems to be the. And I know that it's important, obviously, for Monmouth for their planning purposes for the 2019 season. And on a similar. Not identical, but on a somewhat related note, you know, we've been tracking the attempts in Georgia, led by Jack D'Amico and Dean Reeves and others, to get horse racing of some kind, some way, shape, or form in Georgia. And this even goes back to, you know, the great Mucho Macho Man storyline, and you know, the popularity and the way Atlanta and Georgia sports fans you know, got clued in. They did a terrific job of that. And the latest came yesterday the legislature put forward a bill, and they basically ignored any of the noise regarding sports betting and casino betting, because there's been attempts in that area, but they did forward the potential for the referendum to get on a ballot, I would assume in 2020, statewide. You would need a statewide referendum to approve parimutuel wagering in Georgia. And, of course, Dean Reeves and Jack and everybody as part of the Georgia Horse Racing Coalition, they've actually got a plan that includes a multi-use equine sport facility and entertainment center and blah, blah, blah. Much more involved potential for, a racing, for actual racing in Georgia. And the driving force on this is the rural agricultural community in Georgia, with the hope that this would be the first step toward a Georgia breeding element and the care and maintenance of racehorses in Georgia. And for those that think, how would they start that from scratch? Well, Alabama has got a pretty vibrant equine care industry, and this is probably a good tract, and you would have to think that a referendum, I mean, they wouldn't go on this path. And last time Jack and Dean Reeves visited about this, the referendum angle seemed to be a winner. They must have research that says a statewide referendum would pass. So this, what's the population of Georgia? That's a great question. We don't think of it because it's been so static for so long, but we have 37 jurisdictions. That means, there's 13 that, there's 50 states. There's jurisdictions that if horse racing, if parimutuel wagering was legal, there's plenty of revenue there. I mean, there's people in those states, and yes, I'm sure there's quite a few that are working around and have got some out of state addresses, but frankly, with the geolocating, that's getting more and more challenging, to from where you bet. So I don't know what the estimate would be if Georgia, were to permit wagering, but the ADW business to start with, I would think would have to be fairly substantial. Right? Yeah, Georgia's got a lot of relocated population, that are coming from, Northeast and so forth in the Midwest, and I'm sure, race fans. I hear from people all the time in that part of the South that, can't bet. North Carolina, another area, obviously. So, keep an eye on this. This is very encouraging that they and boy, Dean and Jack and everybody there have been they do not let up. They keep pressing, trying to get this thing done. Good for them. I don't know if you saw this though, but of course it mentioned last week in the wake of Chris Kay being forced to resign after the report of, him using personnel to work on his house up here in this region. But the Franchise Oversight Board, which is usually a hypercritical, they seem to attack at every turn, They came out with they handed down kind of a not an investigation, but they applauded the way Naira handled it, which is that alone was kind of eyebrow raising, because it seems like the Franchise Oversight Board goes out of its way to be critical of everything that that Naira does. But as I said last week, and for all the criticism that's heaped at Chris Kay, people all saying, oh, he didn't know anything about racing. He wasn't hired to know anything about racing. That's not why he was there. He was there to extricate Naira from state control. He was there to work with Albany. That was the only reason that he was hired, and he did well. And that's really all that really kind of all that matters. I love some of the comments. I thought I completely cured myself of reading comments, but once in a while your eyes get drawn to the bottom of those pages, and you can't help yourself. Thank you, Fred Fletcher. Just let me know. 10 million people live in Georgia. So what percentage would be horse players? Let's figure that out, and let's figure their handle. All right, Fred, you thank you. You got the population now. Your assignment is to figure out what percentage are horse players and potentially what their churn would be. But it's got to be good. It's got to be a positive. But anyway, the comments are unbelievable. I mean, the things people say. I like somebody said, he hired people to do the racing thing. Yeah, that's exactly what happens. The executives that have one responsibility, they hire people to take care of the other departments. It's amazing how American business works. Once again, this is one of those areas where all rules of logic and business acumen supposedly are to be suspended for horse racing. It's unbelievable. That's correct. There were other people. There's somebody that runs the racing department. Somebody runs the marketing department. Somebody runs the operations, buildings and grounds, the racetrack portion. Glenn Kozak, Martin Panza, Lynn LaRocca. Yeah, there's people that handle all those other departments. And the chief executive runs things overall. And in particular, when it came to this executive, it was to interact with Albany and kind of end the adversarial posture that had existed for an extended period. And Kay was very successful at that. And frankly, you know what, as I said last week, Dave O'Rourke, was one of those executives doing the strategic planning for what lies ahead. You know, whatever's going to happen at Belmont in terms of the renovation and those long-term plans. And, then, of course, up at Saratoga, we're going to have the new clubhouse, club area, and so forth. Dave O'Rourke, it's really actually the time. If this was going to happen, the timing was right. But Chris Kay did what he needed to do, which was extricate Naira from the state's grimy fingers. So I also, and while we're on this topic too, I guess, I do see where Natalie Voss wrote an extensive piece about Rick Dutrow in the at Pollock Report. And there's also some very clever insights from people who have no clue on this topic. People have, there's a variety of positions people have on this when it comes to alleviating Dutrow from this 10-year this really punitive 10-year suspension, which John Sabini more or less crafted with the idea that he was going to be, that Sabini was going to make himself the big uber czar of racing. That was a big part of this grandstand play. Instead of, if you want, I said at the time, if you wanted to penalize Dutrow, okay, 2 years, 3 years, you want to do something serious and impactful. But take someone's entire, the only thing someone knows as a livelihood, to take it away was a little over the top. Wherever anybody stands, and there's a huge spread from support to supporting reinstating Rick Dutrow to letting the 10 year penalty play out. But again, some of the perception involved regarding Dutrow himself and his job as a trainer, there are some things that are said that are so ignorant that it's mind-boggling. And the one that I just astounds me continually is the written comment or the statement, he admitted that Big Brown was on steroids. Right. Along with 70% of the horse population that was racing. 7 out of 10 horses through that era used steroids. It's absolutely 100% legal at the time, and no one even was concerned about it. And one of the real ironies of this, of that particular portion, during the Triple Crown, when Dutrow was explaining, what he does with on a daily basis, and mentions, that he gets Winstrol as part of his, as part of his feed and treatment, and didn't think anything of it and shouldn't have had to think anything of it. But in a lot of ways, of course, that, people started to say, horses are getting steroids? How long's that been going on? Oh, 35 years, 30, 40 years, since the 60s. So that actually prompted the steroid discussion in racing. So in a lot of ways, and then in very short order, it's one of the great accomplishments, one of the most successful passing of rules and executions of initiative in racing. It's been a model that's been used as the model rule method, was the eradication of steroids from regular daily use in racehorses. So frankly, if Dutrow doesn't mention, just casually, that Winstrol was part of his treatment along with, whatever else, whatever supplements, Gastrogard and Lubricin, and, there's all kinds of, things that figure into the care and maintenance of horses. The industry really owes Dutrow a debt for even, sending out that trial balloon. I mean, that comment was absolutely the flashpoint to pushing steroids out of the game. And then it's used against him somehow in this argument. Oh, he admitted. Admitted? Every single, there isn't one horseman that wasn't, everybody, you got to be kidding me. I just find it unbelievably ignorant that somehow, the Big Brown's tainted. What are you talking about? It's outlandish to me that the people are that ignorant of the history and the reality. It's incredible. So I you know, the you know, this discussion has been, you know, kind of bubbling. Dale Romans has you know, tried to spearhead reevaluation. Certainly, Dutrow has exhausted, frankly, his legal options, and you know, the Gaming Commission did, you know, revisit and said that they were going to, you know, potentially revisit, and then were very quickly dismissive of the revisiting. So, if you want to read, and Natalie Voss did a nice enough job. You know, one of the other ridiculous misnomers or applications of accusation when it comes to Rick Dutrow, it is the 75 violations. I've got them here, and if you want me to dig them out, I will. Virtually all but six or seven are for smoking on the shed row, failure to have full papers filed at the racing office, administrative, almost everyone. There's five or six medication overages, but yet those that want to paint Dutrow as some omnipresent villain, they trot out the 70 violations. I myself have failed to get full papers to racing offices at least twice on time. So I don't think we've what have we started 25 horses in 10 years. So I'm sympathetic on the on the failure to get full papers filed. I have not been written up for smoking on the shed row, knock on wood. Anyway, take a break here. Tony Black joins us next. Steve Haskin, Dickie Powell, got Dickie back, talking Hong Kong. Hong Kong Dick Powell, HKJC Powell. We got to come up with a nickname. Dick Powell taking over on the... It's going to be easier to have the Hong Kong discussions with Dick because he's right here. He's not 12 hours away. And Rich Yang, too. Hour two at the races. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get five full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for five of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.